It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear Red Skelton from 1944 in a high-fidelity broadcast. Right now, it's The Fred Allen Show, from March 28, 1948 on NBC, with Minerva Pius, Portland Hoffa, Kenny Delmar, and special guests James and Pamela Mason.
The Ford Dealers of America present The Fred Allen Show. Show with Fred's guests, Mr. and Mrs. James Mason, Walton Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Easter Sunday. Tonight, we bring you a man who wasn't in the Easter parade today because the parade has passed him by.
Yeah.
He's Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening. Oh, they're exuberant. Thank you. I wish you'd tell your relatives to stop on cue. I mean, if they have to applaud, we'll give them a cue after this. Thank you, and good... Thank you. So I don't mind them starting the applause, but when they drag at the finish, you know, they're overdoing it. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, I heard you mention the Easter parade. It so happens I was in the parade today, and if you saw me, you have to admit that I looked pretty sharp.
Oh, Mama said you were as sharp as a Ubangi's pout.
A Ubangi's pout. Well, I'd like to auction that joke off. Could I get one laugh, please, Ubangi's pout? Could I get one? Could I get one? Going. I've got one. Could I get two? Could I get two? Could I get one? Well, how about the silk hat, that Paul Bearer sombrero I was wearing? What about that?
Mama said your head looked as though it was hanging out of a ship's funnel.
What's that?
Can I get one? Can I get two?
I see. This is going to be a battle of wits tonight. It's too bad you didn't come prepared. Don't tell me you're... What are you laughing at? It's on you. Don't tell me your mother was in the parade.
Yes, Mama wore her new Easter hat.
Oh, one of those current millinery monstrosities?
Well, it's a pond lily astride a piece of Brillo.
That's a hat. I saw a woman with a hat today. It looked like a small pot roast relaxing on a wet dish rag. The woman with her had on a dirty pimento or something. It looked as though somebody had left an antipasto in her hair.
The parade was wonderful.
Oh, I know. I know that.
Did you see the 40 mink marching?
Oh, the 40 live mink?
When they got to 59th Street, the mink all stopped and spelled out Bloomingdale.
Really? That's more than Bloomingdale can do. How did they dot the I in Blooming?
Well, one little mink jumped up on another mink's head and made like a ball.
Oh, really? Tell me, did you see Adolph Monju in the Easter parade?
No.
Oh, Adolph was applauding himself. He had on fawn gray knickers, plastic platform shoes, and just ahead of him, Mr. Monju had a peacock prancing on a neon leash. And his muffler was a tassel. Well, enough about Easter, Portland. What's in the news this week?
Two boys in New York won Pepsi-Cola scholarships.
Oh, really? Pop is sending them through college, eh?
Pop?
Yeah, Pepsi-Cola is a pop. Pop is sending them through college.
That sounds like one of those jokes you always give me.
Yes, it does. And I should have given it to you tonight, too. You know, a line like that I wouldn't throw to a person who was drowning. Well, tell me, what else is new?
Schools of sardines are swarming off the coast of California.
Well, that's good news for the actors out in Hollywood.
The sardines?
Any actor who has two pieces of rye bread and can swim is sure of a sandwich.
Sardine.
A sardine is a herring in shorthand. And while you're making sure that the sardine in that gag isn't a smelt, I think I shall start for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
A prominent economist, after a survey conducted among 24 typical homes, says that American women work too hard. And so our question is, do you think the average American woman works too hard?
Shall we go?
As the sideburn said to the razor blade, brother, I'm off. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess Senator Claghorn has been celebrating Easter, too. He has some colored possum eggs in the window there. Oh, well, I'll knock.
Somebody put the whammy to my panel.
Yes.
Oh, it's you, Dodo Puss.
Yes.
Well, what's on your mind, son? Let's get going. I'm busier than the little boy's tongue when his Eskimo pie starts melting.
Now?
Yeah, I've been working on that new tax reduction bill.
Oh, will it help the taxpayer?
From now on, son, the government is going to give the taxpayer a hand instead of putting it in his pocket.
Well, Senator, how can the administration afford to cut down on taxes?
When the administration paid its income tax this year, they got a big exemption.
The administration?
They claimed Europe as a dependent. Whole world mix up, son.
Yeah.
Hangovers are costing this country $1 billion every year.
Hangovers?
People are drinking to forget.
To forget what?
What they're drinking. Switching. Bartenders are going crazy.
Just
when a bartender thinks he knows what a customer's drinking, the customer switches.
Why, well,
it shows what some people will do to get their pictures in the paper.
Well, with an asterisk, too. Well, tell me, Senator, do you think the American woman works too hard?
That's a leading question, son. Yes. This is election year.
Well, I know.
I'm like kissing Jim. My career's at stake.
Do you think women work too hard?
I do. My wife is sweeping the house from morning to night. She's sweeping here, she's sweeping there, always with the broom in her hand.
Broom? Why doesn't she use a vacuum cleaner?
My wife's a Democrat. She won't even touch our vacuum cleaner.
Why not?
That vacuum cleaner is a Hoover. Go on, Eddie.
Senator has his wife on the carpet. Let's see how Mr. Moody's doing.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, I see you have your raincoat on.
I can't get it off. I'm trapped in it.
You're trapped in your raincoat? What's wrong?
Well, it's a long story.
Yes?
And the way I tell it, it's mighty dull.
I can imagine.
But if you got the patience to hear me through, I'll start boring you.
If you will. How come you're trapped in your raincoat?
Well, sir, last Tuesday I was down in the Lower 40 planting.
I see.
Some of the seeds must have dropped down into my shoe.
Into your shoe?
Coming home, I stepped into a puddle.
You wet the seed, and what happened?
Next day, I felt something creeping up my leg.
Yes.
Then I felt something creeping around my back.
Something was growing on you?
First thing I knowed, my underwear was a vine.
Gosh.
And it's still growing up my sleeves and down under my stomach.
Well, isn't it mighty uncomfortable with that vine closing in on you?
It's mighty difficult sitting down.
When you sit down?
I have to balance myself on a squash.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, do you think American women work too hard?
Oh, shucks, you better ask somebody else. I don't know no women.
Well, you know your wife, Mrs. Moody, don't you?
Why, I wouldn't say I know Miss Moody, but we're acquainted.
Well, does Mrs. Moody work too hard?
Not since she's married.
I see.
But before Miss Moody was married, she must have worked like a horse.
What makes you think she worked like a horse?
Because the day I proposed, I says, how about getting hitched?
And when you said hitched?
Miss Moody backed up and stood by the wagon. So long, Bill.
Looks as though Titus married an old nag. Now, let's try this next house.
Hi there, Jeffy. Oh,
Mrs. Nussbaum, say, you're laughing. What's so funny?
I'm reading the cartoons with the comical pictures.
Oh, you like the comics?
Especially Little Adler.
Little Adler? You mean Little Abner.
Abner in your paper, and mine paper, it is Adler.
Oh, I know.
The Hillbillies. This Little Adler I'm enjoying.
The Hillbillies, eh?
Yes. They're talking with a dialect. Very amusing.
Yes, but
especially when Pappy Yoakum is saying to Daisy May, I'll put the frosting on your cake. to me, this is a yuck.
You like to laugh, eh?
Well, years ago, an old philosophical is saying,
yes,
laughing and the world is laughing with you.
Uh-huh.
Weeping and Bette Davis is in the picture.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, do you think American women work too hard?
American women are living, you should excuse the expression, the life of Riley.
How do you mean?
What does is not doing, servants is doing.
Well, that's true.
Cooks is cooking.
Yes.
Chefs is chefing.
Yes.
Chambermaids is chambering.
Yes.
Footmen is footing. Butlers is butling.
Well, what about you? Do you have servants?
When I'm first married, a blushing bride, Pierre is hiding from me 50 servants.
Uh-huh.
One day, all of the servants suddenly I'm firing.
You discharge 50 servants? Why?
Housemaid's knee.
Housemaid's knee?
Pierre was sitting on it.
Oh, I see. Well, that is... Here we are at the end of the alley. Let's see if Ajax Cassidy is home. Well, Mr. Cassidy. Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. Me legs is wobbly.
Really?
One day I feel like running and the next day I don't.
One day you feel like running, the next day you don't. What disease is that?
MacArthritis. It's a general condition.
A general condition.
I can tell you, I'm in the last throes of the Black Furies.
What seems to be your trouble, Ajax?
Well, me boy, a couple of weeks ago, Bully Boy Burke and myself went to a matinee.
Oh, really? What play did you see?
A Streetcar Named O'Dwyer.
With the 5-cent fare still, I suppose.
That's the one. Now, after the play, Bully Boy says to me, says he, Ajax, says he, tonight me nephew, Belshazzar Drumgool.
Yeah.
Belshazzar is graduating from Grady's Embalming School.
Grady's Embalming School?
He says Belshazzar is graduating with high honors. Magna cum shroud.
Say, it must have been some occasion.
Oh, that was a night, I can tell you. After the graduation, Bully Boy and me went to O'Brien's Pool Academy. Then the fireworks began.
What happened?
Well, Bully Boy started calling Filbert Fogarty an Irish traitor.
Playing pool made him an Irish traitor?
Filbert was putting English on the ball.
Gosh.
In no time at all, it was raining eight balls.
Jeepers.
When order was restored, I had so many lumps on me head, I had to rack up me scalp before I could put me hat on.
Well, Mr. Cassidy, do you think the American woman works too hard?
Not in my house.
In your house?
I get up. I cook the breakfast. I do the dishes. I clean the house. I make the bed.
Well, while you were doing all of the housework, what is your wife doing?
She's standing over me with a rolling pin. Good boy, hero.
That seems to bring us to the 5 DeMarco sisters, assisted no end by Maestro Al Goodman and his orchestra. The DeMarco sing Easter Parade. Girl.
With all the frills upon it, I'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest lady in the Easter parade. On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us. You're in the road to grab your hoe. I could write a sonnet about my Easter bonnet and of the boy who takes me to the Easter parade. Stroll along Fifth Avenue. Oh, we're in the road to grab your. I could write a sonnet.
Portland.
Yes.
I have to go over and see the Masons.
Mr. and Mrs. James Mason?
Yes, I have a great idea. I'm putting the Masons on the air in their own program.
Will they be Jack Igan's summer replacement?
No, they can't hope to start at the top at first, Portland. I'll tell you what happens later. I'm off to see the Masons.
Hello, yes, this is James Mason. Oh, Mrs. Mason. I'm sorry, it's for you, Pam.
Thank you. Hello, this is Mrs. Mason. What, brunch next Sunday? Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Elsa. We're just packing. We're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow. Right you are. Goodbye.
Pam, darling, have you finished this trunk?
Yes, dear, it's all packed.
Good. I'll pack my rifles.
You're taking rifles?
Of course, darling. We're going to California. That's the Wild West.
Oh, it sounds frightening.
It's full of ferocious animals and cattle rustlers and train robbers.
James, how do you know so much about the West?
Well, you remember last week when you were autographing your book, Del Palma, at Macy's?
Yes.
I went out and saw a Roy Rogers picture.
About the West?
Yes, it was terrifying. There was a cattle stampede. Bandits set fire to an entire town. There was a murderous gun battle.
Oh, James, do you think we should go to California?
Don't worry, darling.
But what makes you think we'll get through safely?
I wired Roy Rogers. He's meeting our train at Kansas City.
Thank heaven.
Now, let me see. I wonder if everything's packed. Let's check. 9 cats.
14 cats.
14? You mean...
This morning, Shirley.
Very well, 14 cats.
Check.
200 copies of your book, Del Palma.
Check.
Clothes, boots, lorgnettes, bust of Lloyd George.
Check.
Tourist guide to Hollywood.
Hollywood. Oh, that reminds me. This letter came for you this morning. It's from Ronnie and Benita Coleman.
From Ronnie, eh? Let's have a look at it.
What does it say?
Dear Pamela and James, Benita and I are delighted that you're coming to Hollywood. We've made all arrangements for your stay.
Oh, good.
You will love California. It is Liverpool with sunshine. Confidentially, as one Englishman to another, the king should have kept this colony and given Canada to the Americans.
It sounds divine.
California has a wonderful climate. It never rains, but occasionally the fog comes down in shreds. As I'm writing this, it's shredding cats and dogs. I say, shredding cats and dogs, that's rather good.
Yes, Ronnie has a rousing sense of humor.
I hear they're starting to call Ronnie the British Red Skelton.
That is an honor.
What do you know? Benita is planning a big party for us.
A party?
Yeah, it says, Benita has invited C. Aubrey Smith, Sir Cedric Hardwick, and Arthur Treacher for a big mutton barbecue and a few wickets of cricket later.
California sounds really exciting.
Now, wait, Pam. Ronnie says, I must warn you.
Warn us? About what?
A man named Jack Benny.
Who is Jack Benny?
Ronnie says this Jack Benny is the stingiest man in the world. If you locked him in a room with a skunk, Benny would come out with the scent.
He sounds obnoxious.
It says, yesterday our front yard was filled with tourists. Benny was charging them 25 cents to peek through the parlor window and see my new Oscar.
That Jack Benny must be a rotter.
It says, Benita joins me in sending her love, signed Ronnie. P.S. Watch your cat. Benny makes his own violin string.
We better finish packing, dear. Will you hand me that?
Someone is at the door, Pam. I'll get it. Oh, it's Fred Allen. Hello, come in, Fred.
Thank you, James. Hello, Pam. Say, what's all this luggage?
We're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow.
Hollywood?
Yes, Fred. You've been to California. What's it like?
James, California is a wonderful place if you're an orange. You take the sun away from California, and what have you got?
It's night.
Exactly.
What's wrong with California?
Well, nothing. California is the Florida of tomorrow.
Well, what about Hollywood?
Well, what happens in Hollywood, James? An actor works hard in New York. He becomes a success in the theater. A movie scout signs him up and takes him out to Hollywood on the super cheap. He makes 4 bad pictures in rapid succession and leaves Hollywood on a Greyhound bus, a forgotten man.
You know such a man?
I am such a man.
But Ronald Coleman Bowen wrote us that Hollywood is wonderful.
Yes, Ronnie only warned us about one thing, a chap named Jack Benny.
Oh, Jack Benny.
Have you met him?
Yes, unfortunately. One day on Vine Street, Benny overpowered me and introduced himself. That's the only way he can meet people. He has to overpower them.
What do you think of him?
Well, all I can tell you about Benny, James, is that when he empties his goldfish bowl, he doesn't throw the water away. He heats the water, puts croutons in it, and serves it as fish chowder. What he doesn't eat while it's still hot, he shaves with.
Ronnie says this chap Benny is tight.
Tight. Benny is tighter than a goiter in a turtleneck sweater. But enough about Mr. F.E. Boone's straight man. James, I'll tell you why I'm here. I have a great idea for you and Mrs. Mason.
Really?
I'm going to star you both on your own radio program.
But we're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow.
Well, this is for the future, Pam, when you get back to England.
It's an English radio program?
Yes. Now, you've heard our morning husband and wife program.
You mean like the Fitzgeralds and Tex and Jinx and Dorothy and Dick?
Right. Now, I've written a husband and wife program for you both to do in London.
An English husband and wife?
Yes.
What's it like?
Well, as the program opens, you hear...
Cheerio, all. It's 6 a.m. Time for England's favorite breakfast couple, Pamela and James. We take you to the quaint little Mason Manor where they broadcast their quaint little program from their quaint little breakfast nook. And here they are, the quaint little Pamela and James.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, James.
I say, Mrs. Mason, you're looking absolutely top-hole this morning.
Thank you.
I've never seen you with such an extraordinary glow.
Darling, who wouldn't have a glow after sleeping all night under one of Pringle's electric blankets?
Pringle's electric blankets give you a 30-day slumber guarantee.
Pringle's comes in three temperatures: warm, very warm, and calling Dr. Kildare.
Remember, Pringles is the only electric blanket with the built-in fuse box. Moderately priced at only 2 guineas.
Darling, will you sort the mail while I fetch breakfast?
Breakfast? Good. What are we having?
What's on every stove in England at this hour of the morning?
Lady Cavendish's kidneys.
Quite. Lady Cavendish's kidneys are the only kidneys that come vacuum packed, ready to serve.
They're just chock full of vitamins.
James, I'm dying to tell our listeners what's coming next week.
You mean Lady Cavendish's liver?
Yes, I'm so excited.
So is Lady Cavendish. Orders are pouring in from all over the empire.
The correct time is now 6:05. James, have you fed the dog?
Yes, I gave him a bowl full of Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits.
Yes, Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits give the dogs that added zest in the morning.
Zest, spelled Z-E-S-T.
And remember, Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits are not touched by human hands.
They're made by other dogs.
Tea, darling?
Please.
I say, wasn't the Claridge packed with celebrities last night?
Actually crammed.
Wasn't Noel a scream when he gave Winston that loaded cigar?
I practically choked on my bloater.
I don't know where Noel gets his sense of humor.
I know where he gets his loaded cigars.
Where, darling?
Finchley's Fun Shop.
Finchley's carries a complete line of amusing tricks for all occasions.
False noses, squirting gardenias. Be the life of the party. Stop in at Finchley's Fun Shop, number 7, Burlington Arcade.
James, darling, it's 6:10. Don't you think it's time we introduce our guest?
By all means, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning is Britain's leading ornithologist, Colonel Bullfinch. Good morning, Colonel Bullfinch.
Who have read your new bird book, Two in the Bush, have positively swamped us with questions. I wonder if you'd answer a few. You will?
No.
Oh, good. Well, our first letter is signed Bird Lover, Upper Woffington. Bird Lover has 2 questions. First, Colonel, what is the habitat of the yellow-bellied sapsucker? Well, I must say that answers Bird Lover's first question. And Dr. Rodney's foot balm answers the second.
Yes, Bird Lover. You'll find Dr. Rodney's foot balm a sure cure for athlete's foot. Dr. Rodney's comes in two convenient sizes.
The handy half-pint bottle for individual use.
And the 10-gallon bat for soccer teams.
And now, Colonel, the next question is signed Fellow Traveler Ramsgate. Fellow Traveler asks why no Russian birds were mentioned in your book.
Colonel Bullfinch, that is a crystal clear analysis of the Russian problem.
Positively brilliant.
I especially enjoyed that comment on the iron curtain.
And ladies, when you iron curtains, be sure to use a Brombi mango.
A Brombi mango cuts wash day in half.
It cuts everything in half. Today.
Colonel Bullfinch, our next question is from Sir Hubert Hives of Devonshire. Sir Hubert is colorblind. He would like to know how you tell the difference between the red-backed pipit and the white-rumped pipit. I see. The white-rumped pipit seldom eats worms. It prefers kippers.
And like millions of other discriminating British diners, the white-rumped pipit prefers Lord Bottomley's kippers.
Lord Bottomley's kippers have zippers. They're the only zipper that you can look into.
Lord Bottomley cleans them personally. His castle's a mess.
Whether you're a white-rumped pipit or a glutton, you'll enjoy Lord Bottomley's kippers.
And now, Colonel, I wonder if you'd tell us how you came to study birds. I understood you were first interested in bees.
I'm sorry, Pam. Time's up.
Oh, just as the Colonel was getting so interested.
Till tomorrow morning at 6, Mr. James and Pamela saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Colonel.
Our guests will be Shirley Booth and the Harmonettes. Before then, why don't you treat your Ford to a spring tune-up? Your Ford dealer's the man to do it properly and reasonably. Thank you and good night. Good night. Thank you. Don't forget your Ford dealer. Thank you.
The Fred Allen Show on Tuned to Yesterday from March 28, 1948 on NBC. Guest stars James and Pamela Mason, hot Hollywood property at that time. In that year, James Mason not featured in any motion pictures, but presumably filming the four he would appear in 1949, alongside Barbara Stanwyck in East Side, West Side, with Joan Bennett in The Reckless Moment, with Jennifer Jones in Madame Bovary, and alongside Barbara Bel Geddes in Caught. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeBunier. And now a funny broadcast of the Red Skelton Show from April 11th, 1944 on NBC, from his scrapbook of satire, Candy.
From Hollywood, Red Skelton, with Ozzie Nelson, his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, B. Benadera, Dick Ryan, Ferdinand Meunier, and yours truly, Frank Nelson. And now we bring you MGM's popular comedian and the star of our Raleigh show, Red Skelton.
Like they do for Hope, you know.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Frank?
Hello, Red. I'm fine. Say, I see where tire inspecting ends April 20th.
That's right. April the 21st, they start inspecting rims then.
Say, what are you looking so happy about?
Well, a funny thing happened to me. I got my laundry back this week. That's pretty quick. I only sent it out last July, you know. Well, anyhow, instead of sending me the pajamas, they just sent me two pajama coats. Did you ever try getting your legs through the sleeve of a pajama coat?
Well, not lately, Red. I still can't see why you're so happy about it. You must look pretty silly with pajama coats on both ends.
Yeah, but I keep thinking about the guy that got the other pants. Say, who do we have with us tonight that plays an important part in our American way of living? Huh?
Well, tonight we have a man with an unusual occupation, a candy dipper.
A candy
Red,
dipper.
Meet Mr. Delford.
Well... Well, how are you, Mr. Delford? I've heard of professional onion peelers and olive stuffers, but what's a candy dipper? Somebody that takes a plunge in the candy business hoping to make a mint?
No, Red. It's a person who dips candy in chocolate syrup.
Don't wait. Just keep right on going. They do what?
They dip candy in chocolate syrup.
Really? I thought those kids that were licking your hands at rehearsal that were doing it just because you were a kind-hearted man, you know? Tell me, do you have any troubles making candy?
Well, candy dipping is an art, and it's interesting, too. We're always making different candies for the seasons of the year. Christmas, St. Valentine's Day, and at Easter, the bunnies had to go to work on chocolate eggs.
Yeah, we're not doing bad here tonight ourselves, are we? Hey, I remember one Easter I put a big chocolate egg into my Paul Parrot's cage. He was asleep at the time. When he woke up, he says, "Boy, somebody put in a hard day, didn't they?" Is there anything unusual? That was the writer applauding for that. Are there anything unusual about your candies?
Well, our kitchen has done something to help people find hard centers. Yeah. On each chocolate is a design. We use a H for hard centers and an S for soft centers.
Say, that's wonderful. There's nothing so aggravating as a box half full of eaten chocolates, you know. Ever seen people say, "Oh, candy, they don't want that one." Say, just point it out to me, I'll read it here. You know, I used to help decorate colored eggs myself.
You mean you squeezed out the icing to decorate?
No, I was the chef's eraser. See, every time he made a mistake, I licked up the icing. I knew a man who loved his work making candy so much that every time he sneezed, he'd go, "Hershey!" Say, what's it like in a candy kitchen?
Well, everything is snow white, and our hair is completely covered with a close-fitting hat. And each piece of candy has a personal attendant as it goes down the assembly line.
You mean you learn something every day? It really goes down a lump of sugar and then it comes out a piece of candy, huh?
That's right.
You learn something new every day, don't you? An assembly line for candy. I can just see it in production. A man runs up with a chart and he says, "Here's the plans for the revision." The man stutters, of course. Guy comes in, he says, "Here are the revised plans for the new combination four-motored bonbon." Then you quickly start the furnaces and you whip up a batch of chocolate syrup. Then a man on the scale measured off a roll of almonds. And then the Tutti Frutti girl stands by with a magnifying glass to see that you don't get more Tutti than Frutti. Then it starts down the assembly line. The almond is placed inside the Tutti Frutti. A couple of cherries are riveted on. And then the inspector fires the girl.
What for?
The nut was loose. Then it's handed to you, and you personally dunk it into the chocolate syrup. Then it goes into the freezing room, where a woman carefully packs it into a small wax cup. All this work, just so somebody can squeeze it to see if it's got a hard center. Say, are you ever tempted to eat candy now and then?
When you first start doing the work, yes.
Really? You know, I used to be a candy salesman.
How interesting.
Yeah, I used to walk in and say, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's always customary for a show of this kind to have a confectioner at chewing candy. Now there's a prize in each and every pack."
Now I remember. I first saw you in the center aisle of the Burbank Theater.
No. No, I was in the balcony. Rags Raglan was in the center aisle. Well, thanks for dropping in, and if you ever have an extra box of chocolates, look me up, will you?
Music whisper, echoes of romance.
Cuddle on my shoulder,
hold me while we dance.
It's a moment tender.
Now the spell is cast. Maybe you'll surrender, but you move too fast. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't you know it's more romantic when a dance is slow? Take it easy, take it easy. What's the good of feeling high when all the lights are low? Take it easy, take it easy. We've got lots of time ahead of us, the night is young. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't you know this music should be swayed instead of swung? take your time, easy and slow. That's what they tell you down in old Mexico. Take it easy, and take it easy. Don't you know it's more romantic when the dance is slow? Take it easy, take it easy. What's the good of feeling high when all the lights are low? Take it easy, take it easy.
You sound very unconvincing as a gigolo.
Take it easy, take it easy.
Boy, that accent really sends me, it's from Kokomo.
Take your time, dance it with ease. Take your time, slow if you please. Look in at the El Punkerino Ballroom, where they're really slicing up the rugs. Here they go.
Take it easy, bud, take it easy.
Ah, come on, get shagging, Maggie. What you got to lose?
Take it easy, Butch, take it easy.
Okay.
You're mortaring me corns with MGI shoes. Take it easy.
Come on.
Take it easy.
Are you kidding?
You bought a ticket for a dance and not a wrestling bout. Take it easy, chum, take it easy.
Okay, Toots.
I am firmly convinced I should have sat this one out. Take your time, easy, my friend. Stop swinging your feet.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the end.
Yeah.
Now we come to our satire on our American way of living, and it's about candy. A guy with a girl and no money is really in trouble, so let's look in on Clem, the fella from the country.
What a beautiful morning. Oh, spring is here. I'm out to get a girl, boy. All I gotta do is take off my hat, let the girl see my hair, and then, boy, they start calling me pet names. Anybody know what a Saint Bernard is? There's my old friend, Slim Pickens, over there in his car. There's really a dude. Like the way he wears his mustache. I wonder how he gets it to curl around his ears that way.
Howdy, Mr. Griddle Hopper.
Holy duty to you. What's new, huh?
Well, I see where they're making a picture based on One World, that book that Mr. Wilkie wrote.
Bet nobody up in Wisconsin goes to see it. Hey, you ain't seen Daisy June, have you?
Well, yeah, she was just by here looking for you.
Really?
Boy, she sure is skinny, ain't she?
Yep, she's the only girl I know whose shadow outweighs her by 20 pounds.
You know, she ought to eat some candy and put on some weight.
Really?
Her face is too thin and pale.
Well, she can't help that. She's been drying her face in a clothes wringer, you know. Sure wish I knew where she was.
Oh, she'll be back. She heard you had some money.
All I got's a nickel, and I owe 3 cents of that. Hey, I got a date with DJ, too.
Well, just wait till she finds out you're broke. You're gonna be a pretty sad goon.
Oh, I ain't worried. I can get a girl, don't worry. I ain't half bad. I'm all bad. Hey, here comes a girl. What's her? They like them football types, you know.
Football types?
Yes, sir, boy. Now, don't tell me my head don't look like a football. Watch me. I'll go to work there. Hello, chicken. Going home to roost?
Why, Clem.
Why, did you? What, past that line of dress shops? No, sir, not me.
I won't buy anything. I just want a window shop.
You mean look in windows? Don't be silly. People don't go to bed this time of the day.
I heard you got some money, Clem. Come on, let's walk.
Yeah, okay. I'm anxious to find out how this turns out myself, you know. Hey, oh, there's the candy store. Let's cross to the other side of the street, will you?
Why, not in the middle of the block? It's dangerous.
Really?
I knew a man who crossed in the middle of the block, and 2 months later he had the mumps.
No kidding.
Let's walk to the corner.
Well, truthfully, I don't see the connection myself.
Come on, Clem, let's walk.
No, I don't like to walk too much. Waste my shoe leather, you know.
You ain't wearing shoes.
I ain't? Well, no wonder it hurt so bad this morning when I had them half soled. Come on, let's go back to the corner and cut across.
What's eating you, Clem? You'd think something was going to get you.
Okay, let's walk fast. Oh, I'm in a hurry. I got to get home, put my arm to bed.
Why?
It's going to sleep. It's too fast for her. She didn't get it.
Clem, look. Stop pulling me.
Well, now I hope you're satisfied tearing my ear like that.
Well, I only want to look in this window.
Oh, look, Candy. Say, don't that smell good?
Hmm? Yes, it does.
You want to stand over here? You can smell it better. Hey, you, would you like some?
Yes, I would.
I'd afraid of that.
Good morning.
And to you, howdy doody.
Well, don't stand there, Clem. This ain't a waiting room.
Yeah.
Give me a box of bonbons.
Here you are.
Well, now, just a minute. I was here first. I was in here before he was.
It only took me a second to wait on
that him. That ain't the idea. Well, I've never been so insulted in all my life. I'll take my business elsewhere.
Oh, Clem, don't be so silly.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to the dime store.
I'm sorry, but I was in a hurry.
Hurry? The candy won't melt, you know. Do I look like the type of guy who'll buy all of it?
Well, truthfully, no. If the lady gets any candy, I imagine she'll have to buy it.
Well, now that does it. That does it. I'll teach you to be rude, brother.
All right, Clem, now that's enough.
I'll take care of this guy. I'll hammer him to massage and then beat him to a pulp.
Clem, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, picking on a midget.
Well, he's a king-sized midget, though. I'm sorry, Shorty. Come on, I'll show you.
Where are you going, Clem?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you went out, too.
All right. What are you going to buy?
How much is that little box of candy in the window?
$5.
No, the little window.
$5.
$5? Got anything left over from St. Patrick's Day? Something that ain't too spoiled to eat yet, you're spoiled enough to throw away. You know?
Don't be a tightwad.
Say, there's something that looks nice.
Sorry, we're all out of them.
You mean them boxes I'm looking at ain't there?
They're empty boxes.
Well, give me one of them. How much are they? How much are they?
Say, that box in the window sure does look good. Yeah. And I could use the box to keep my sewing in.
Look, folks, I'm rather busy. Mm-hmm.
Well, make up your mind, Clem.
You like mixed candy?
Yes, I do.
Give me 2 penny gumdrops. Let her mix her up herself, huh?
Men are famous for using candy to square themselves with a little woman. So let's look in on Willie Lump Lump, the king of the night owls.
Hey, move over, you bum. You're move over. Yeah. You road hog, you.
Hey, what's going on here?
Don't yell at me, officer. I'll come down to the police station and take my picture off the bulletin board.
It's you, Willie.
Yeah.
Now, what are you making all this noise
for? Oh, that dope in a big truck blocking the street there. I can't get past him.
Now, look, Willie, this isn't a street. It's a dead-end alley. And that's not a truck. It's a building.
Well, if you hadn't have got here, we might have had a pretty serious collision. You know?
Come on. Get out of that car.
Am I in a car?
Sure. What do you think?
I don't know. I thought them pedestrians were coming pretty fast at me.
You better get yourself home, Willie. Just leave your car right here. I'll walk to the door with you.
I'll bet you will.
Look, why don't you go see a psychiatrist?
Why, my vertebrae ain't out of play.
Don't the staying out late bother you?
No, it bothers the neighbors more than it does me, you know.
I still don't see why you don't spend more time at home.
Have you ever seen my wife? She looks like something that went to a funeral and forgot to bury.
Why, she's a sweet, kind woman who thinks the world of you.
I'm talking about my wife. Who are you talking about? Well, I got her a present. Would you like to see it?
Good heavens, man. Put that away. You shouldn't flash stuff like that around.
Yeah, well,
you're allowed to get hit on the head.
Yeah, well, you're a nice guy. Here, you can have it. Go ahead.
But that ain't money or diamonds. That's an old Henry bar.
A cellophane wrapper, too.
No kidding. Where'd you get it?
A soldier. I gave him my wristwatch for it. You know, he says in their PX they got all kinds of candy. Of course, I think he's been in that desert heat a little too long.
I don't know. I hear they have plenty of butter and meat.
Yeah, I saw 2 mess sergeants paying their way into the Palladium with a pork chop, you know.
Yeah. Well, Willie, here you are.
Well, I gotta go now. I'll brace myself to meet my ever-loving wife, see her beaming face, her beaming smile. She's a little off the beam tonight.
Come in, Willie.
You ain't gonna throw me out again, are you?
What's the matter, scared? I thought you said you didn't know the meaning of the word fear.
Well, I looked it up. Now, take it easy, will you?
Willie, I can't stand it any longer. You'll have to find a place for my mother to live so I can go home to her.
Why can't can't she go home to her mother?
Because her mother's going home to her mother.
I'll stop if you will.
You don't appreciate
me. Oh, yes,
I scrub for you and slave over a hot stove for you, and what do I get?
Oh, probably a million letters tomorrow from people asking you to be their maid, you know.
You don't appreciate me. I'm dirt under your feet.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I'm just your slave.
Oh.
I'm just a boy and a girl
don't.
To kiss.
Oh, shut up!
After all I've done for you, after all I've gone through for you, after I've given you the best years of my life, well, say something.
Were those your best years?
Why, you...
Now, don't start yelling here. I brought you a present.
Oh, Willie, you shouldn't have. What is it?
I heard you say you like chocolate things.
Yeah.
I brought you a box to keep them in.
Shouldn't.
Oh, it's all right. I want it on a punch board.
Why, you cheat?
Put me down. Where?
I'll put you down. I'll throw you out of the window on your head.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, no, you won't. You won't throw anybody out on their head. Now, you see, wise guy, it didn't land on my head, did I?
All children like candy and things that are sweet. So, Harriet, you be my mother, and I'll be the mean little can. I sugar board, I sugar board. I gonna get it, I gonna get it. Oh, brother, now I really gonna get it.
Junior, what happened?
You know that big meat platter?
Yeah.
I just made hamburger out of it.
Junior, what are you doing in that cupboard? Are you in my sugar bowl again?
No, not all of me. Just me face. Just me face. Again.
Junior, how many times have I told you? You can't eat plain sugar.
Well, could I have a widow if I put ketchup on it?
Now, you listen to me. If I catch you swiping sugar...
I didn't swipe on it. I didn't swipe on it. So help me. Cross me fingers and swipe on it. You know, I just smooth out the top of it, you know. Some stick on me hand, I lick it off.
Listen, if you want something sweet, ask for some candy.
Okay, can I have some candy?
No.
Yeah. I don't see your point, truthfully. Hey, Mommy, you always promised to give me a dime for candy, but I never see it, you know.
Oh, when did I promise you a dime?
Last night when you were talking in your sleep.
Well, I must have been delirious.
Well, tonight I'm going to take a checkbook to bed with me, but...
Junior, have you been a good boy today?
Yes, I have. Of course, today's still young, you know. What's cooking in your widow head, kiddo?
Well, your father's home.
Oh, so that's what you were dragging upstairs last night.
Junior, you didn't hear anything.
Yes, I did. Of course, I didn't know it was me, Pop. It sounded like he was dragging a bobsled with rubber boots tied on it.
Well, let's not discuss your father anymore.
He is kind of disgusting, ain't he?
When he wakes up, I'll have him give you a nickel for some jelly beans.
Jelly beans? You mean them little red and green candy? Licorice and gumdrop?
Yes.
With a hard and soft inner?
Yes.
Don't like them.
Young man, you're getting just a little too fresh.
Well, you gotta admit, I'm a pretty clever kid, though. Only this morning, I made a few new improvements on my secret weapon I'm building with my chemistry set, you know.
What did you do?
Well, next time Pop turns on the radio, the whole front room's gonna move out on it.
Jump down off that cupboard. I'll catch you.
Okay.
Wait till I turn around.
Now she tells you.
Well, don't lay there. Get up so I can see if you scratch the floor.
I can't get up. I got a Charlie pony. I got a Charlie pony.
You mean you got a Charlie horse?
No, this is just a widow cramp, you know. Hey, can I ride me tricycle outside if I promise to get it back in time for Pop to ride to work?
Well, all right, but don't ride down that steep hill. You might crash into a wall, and tricycles are hard to get nowadays.
Yes, or somebody at the door,
Junior, peek through the window first. It may be a bill collector.
Oh, it's that last of the big parade from next door there.
Junior, will you stop referring to Mr. Mounier as being fat?
All right, then. He's not fat. He's just badly swollen, you know. When he gets here, I'm going to ride my tricycle around him just once, you know. That'll take about an hour, you know.
Junior, well, open the door.
No. He only wants me to run an errand for him, you know.
Junior, he's been very good to you.
No.
Gives you a nickel every other day for candy.
Yeah, and then he looks in the bag and says, let's see what you bought, kiddo. And then them big lunch hooks wrapped around it.
Well, tell him not to eat it.
No. And then I wouldn't even give me a nickel for the candy, you know. You know, someday I'm going to get $10 and get a jawbreaker.
Jawbreakers are a penny.
Not the kind I mean. These are brass and you wear them on your knuckles. You know?
Junior, will you open the door for him?
Okay.
Well, Junior,
hello.
Hello.
back.
Where you been? Down the service station getting your tummy pumped up, huh?
Oh, no, no. Just getting a little sun and air.
Yeah, brother, yes, you need it, do you? Hey, put your hat on, will you? That sun shining on your bald head and the light's glaring in my eyes.
Junior, you shouldn't say things like that about Baldy. I mean...
Well, perhaps I am a trifle bald.
A trifle, he says. You better get a toupee, you know. That's mighty slippery landing field for them poor little flies.
Junior, would you like to hop on your tricycle and ride down and get me the evening papers?
How much again is for me?
To pay you to do something would be like teaching you bribery. You wouldn't accept bribes, would you, Junior?
He talks like a new man around here.
Okay, I'll give you a nice new nickel.
I'd rather have a nice old quarter if you got it.
You'll go for nothing.
No. I think it would be worth earning a nickel. Here's the money for the paper and a nickel for some candy.
You chiseler, you. You're going to eat it. You're gonna eat it. Okay, I will go. Hey, did you wash that door on the window on that door there, or is it open, huh? He washed it. Now, I'm not going to make this trip for nothing. I'm going to fix him. I'm going to put this money down for the paper, and then I'm going to go back home and check that guy was good. I'm going to chop up a little bar of soap in little squares and let him eat that for a change, boy. That'll stop him. Fix that guy but good. Now, there's the soap up on the sink. I'm going to teach him to let me earn money and then eat all me candy. Now, there's a knife there. Oh, boy, it looks just like fudge, don't it? I forever blowing bubbles. Now, put it in this old candy sack. I've been licking the sides of there now. It's all fixed. Oh, boy, that's going to teach him that well.
Oh, Junior back already?
Yeah, here's your paper, and look, a sack of fudge. Look.
Oh, my favorite candy.
Boy, I can't wait till he eats that.
Junior, what's so funny? What have you been up to?
Oh, he pulled that old Lissy what's in the bag stuff, and I filled it with little soap squares.
Oh,
you
good
know?
Heavens. He isn't eating it, is he?
Huh?
He isn't
wait,
eating
see.
It, is he?
Well, if he ain't, we better shoot him because he's foaming at the mouth.
And remember, we'll all be with you next Tuesday at the same time. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson, Harriet Hilliard, and the gang. Until next Tuesday, then.
Red Skelton saying goodbye now. Thanks for listening.
Red Skelton is heard on this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Red Skelton on Tuned to Yesterday from April 11th, 1944 on NBC. And that wraps this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonnier. Thanks for listening.